Bemidji's Natural Choice Farmers Market meets each Saturday from 9 to 1 in the Union Square parking lot in Bemidji. We're going to learn more about the market from two of its participants, Rebecca Whiting from the Dirty Goat Farm and Randy Peterson from Mary Gardens Farm. Good morning, Rebecca.
Good morning.
Good morning, Randy.
Hi, how are you guys doing?
We're good. Let's start with Rebecca, just because you can maybe give us an overview about the market. You've been a member for several years, and you said yesterday when we talked that the market operates differently from many farmers' markets. Tell us about what makes this market different.
Yeah, we do. A lot of farmers' markets operate with a market manager, and there's somebody that runs it that's profiting off the vendors there. Our market does not have anybody like that. We operate as a collective. Everybody has equal say in how the market operates. We have a bylaws that we go by that are in place to keep things, you know, going smoothly. And, you know, we have some rules we keep ourselves to. So, and then any decisions that are made have to get approval from the rest of the vendors also. Everybody that does any work for the market is strictly on a volunteer basis.
So what kinds of things are the market members thinking about that, you know, the decisions? What kinds of decisions are they making these days?
Because of everything happening with COVID, this year the market, well, it was uncertain at the beginning of the year whether we were going to get it open or not. The Minnesota Farmers Market Association passed down guidelines to keep everybody a little safer. You know, our market is outdoors. We're not a big market like other parts of the state have. But we did, actually, just this week, kind of this idea popped up that people could call us, the phone number on the Farmers Market Facebook page, and place a single order, and that we would be able to get together their order from all the vendors and put it together. And like for people who would not be able to come to the market and shop because of their high risk, or, you know, they're just not able to get, because of their health, not be able to be out in public like other people would be able to. And so they could call the market and we could get together their order from all the vendors and come and, like, deliver it to them in the parking lot, so they don't actually even have to, you know, because otherwise they'd be coming to the market and potentially going to 5 or 6 or more. Last week we had 15 vendors, and so this would keep them from having to expose themselves, but still give them the accessibility of being able to get what they want from the farmer's market for the, you know, the local produce, the local food, the local craft items, and that kind of thing.
Yeah, so those are some of the decisions that you're grappling with now, is like how to cope with the pandemic.
Yeah, I mean, it has complicated everything, for everybody. I haven't talked to anybody. It has not really had a major impact. I know for my family it has. This is just a way for us to try and, you know, help out people that need a little extra, because that's kind of what we all have to do for each other right now. It's just, we live in a different world in 2020 than we did in 2019.
That's true. Yeah. Have you noticed with the pandemic any change in sales or the number of people that come to the market? I've talked to some markets at the beginning of the year, and everybody has, you know, made plans to try to cope with the pandemic in different ways and follow the guidelines. But how has the season played out?
You know, at the beginning of the year, there was a lot of uncertainty and how it was going to be. But I have found, and I know the other vendors that I have talked to, that this has been an exceptional year for us. I think that at the beginning of the season, before the market officially opened, because we don't actually open until Memorial Day because we have a later season. So, you know, at the stores, you were dealing with a lot of shortages. The shelves just weren't stocked as well. And at the very beginning of the season, I spoke to a lot of people who are just, kind of, it opened their eyes to an awareness that our supply lines were not as strong as they thought they were. They're actually kind of weak. And so that shopping local and getting things locally was really the best thing that they could be doing at the time. Well, and in the future, too. You know, I spoke to a lot of people that are like, well, because of this, now I understand. And I'm going to be shopping at the market and buying things from people locally more often to support our community, but also so that they can continue getting the things that they want. Because if they shop locally more often, that just helps boost us up that are local and trying to sell local. And we can provide more locally if we have more customers. And so that, like for my sales, have been just exceptional this year.
What are you seeing in the market right now in terms of produce that's being offered or things beyond produce too?
You know, we had a lot of things are starting to really come in this time of the year because we're already in August. So our season window here is very short, but we have the tomatoes, the cucumbers, all those things. And actually, Randy could answer those a little better because he knows what is coming up in the garden also, since they're out there every day.
Yeah, Randy, you are Randy Peterson from Mary Gardens Farm. You're on the line with us as well. What is coming in at your farm right now?
We've had a lot of everything come in so far, but what's coming in right now is the melons. And I think Jeff Mulner, who's also there, he had melons, I think, at last Saturday's farmer's market. And I think watermelons are coming. We had a few watermelons. Those are the new things coming in, and they're always nice to come in, even though they're always questionable. You never know what the weather that we're going to have. But this summer, we've had such an exceptional summer for those types of crops, anything that requires a lot of heat. However, some of the things that don't require heat, you know, like your brassicas, like your cauliflowers, broccolis, they didn't do as well. But so farming is always a kind of one does well, the other doesn't. And we've had that back and forth. So we're always able to provide a mixture of good foods. And adding to what Rebecca says, this year's been an exceptional year where our farm has had a mild difficulty keeping up with the demands. And, you know, that's a great problem to have. It's just a matter of solving it and how long does it continue.
I'm just shocked when you said melons right now, because my vision and experience with trying to grow melons at east of Bemidji is maybe by the time frost comes, you'll have like one small one.
So. Yeah. You know, the thing about that, though, is they're getting more varieties that are, you know, requires less time. And, of course, you start working on that. And we moved here 5 years ago, and we've never grown a melon up north at Roseau, Minnesota, ever. And all of a sudden, we threw a few in the ground, and boy, we had great melons. So then we tried to do more and more and more of it. And, of course, then you start searching for better varieties and so forth. So it's an interesting thing, you know, just you go 2 hours south of where I lived in Roseau before, and all of a sudden you can grow this. And the same thing goes for if you go 2 hours south of here, you're going to end up changing some of the product line.
Tell us a little bit about Mary Gardens Farm. Can you describe it?
Well, I can describe it based on, we've been here 5 years, and, you know, my wife and I, Jill, we've been growing things for our whole lives. You know, and I had a private practice physical therapy in Roseau, Minnesota, so then I would just bring produce into the shop and let people take it. But when we got here, we kind of wanted to expand and start selling, and we were very fortunate to meet the people that we did that helped us get through some of the marketing. And then, of course, I think it was 3 or 4 years ago we joined the farmer's market, and that happened to be with Jeff Mulner. Their farmer's market had no tomatoes, and we had a big supply of them, so we put them on Craigslist, and he looked us up, and he came out, and he says, well, I'm here for two reasons. And I said, well, I know you want tomatoes. He says, well, the other one is I want you to join the farmer's market. So that's how it started, and our farm is like I suppose we grow 4 to 5 acres of produce. We grow quite a variety, and I think our main staple and what we've kind of gotten known for is our lettuces. We grow the romaine, the leaf, and the green and the red leaf, and Jill, who handles the lettuces, you know, become really good at it because we were supplying a couple different restaurants and the Language Village, and we were doing a couple hundred pounds a week. But that has changed, but the market has made up for a lot of things that aren't going on. So, but yeah, and we welcome people to come out and see our farm. How to describe it? We have 2 high tunnels, 2 greenhouses. We have a big barn, and we have a garage that's basically a couple coolers. We have a washing area, and it's all been kind of put together as you travel along this journey, figuring out what you need and how to actually make things efficient and mechanical, because, you know, most of the time it's just the two of us.
What is your day going to be like today?
Well, today is a picking day because, you know, we still go to Walker Farmers Market, and then also we have to meet Harmony's order, and we have a few CSAs. We don't have a lot, but today I'll be out digging some potatoes. The carrots are dug, and then we'll put together the order, and we put it in the van, and Jill will go to town, and she'll make the deliveries, get what we need there as well. You know, we try to do dual purposes on every trip. And then I'll continue to get ready for the farmer's market tomorrow.
It's a busy day.
Yeah, well, and then you try to get some weeding in, and you try to get... I did plant some radishes here not too long ago, and also I planted some cilantro yesterday. So the planting doesn't ever end. We have, like lettuces, we might have 7 or 8 successions through the year. It's interesting, but we're learning. We keep learning how much help we have to bring on and how to really organize and develop good systems on our farm to make it work.
Rebecca Whiting, I want to ask you another question. Your farm is called the Dirty Goat Farm. How did you get that name?
Oh, it was a complete joke. I was making soap. That's how we have a large family. There's 12 of us. And I was doing everything that I could to try and cut down what we were needing to spend money on to you know, pinch pennies. It was 2011, my husband had just gotten out of the Army, and we had this plan and jobs lined up and everything fell through and nothing worked out. Found ourselves, and I was trying to save money and doing things, just making everything. And so I started making soap, and my husband was like, oh, it's dirty goat soap. And so that's how, and a friend was like, oh, you should just be the Dirty Goat Farm. And so that's how it started. And I've considered every once in a while maybe we should have a more serious name, but nothing else has worked out yet. So here we are with that. And so, yeah, our farm was built to provide for us, because family of 12 needs a lot. And so we raise dairy goats. I make soap. I bake bread for the farmer's market. The bread was the other thing that I was doing for us to save us money. And then I realized that I could be doing it for other people also and make money off of it. So, yeah, that's how we started and what we do, a little bit of what we do anyways.
Well, that is quite a history. And, you know, when I heard the name, I just thought, that's a great name, but aren't all goats a little bit, you know, dirty sometimes?
Yeah. especially in rut season, we're about to go through.
Oh boy!
We have dairy goats, so we rely on the breeding every year and the kidding in the spring to continue to produce the milk.
So you guys, you're both very busy people, Randy and Rebecca. Is there anything you want to add?
Well, thank you very much for having us and spreading the word about our farmers market, because I think it's really become quite festive, too. I think people enjoy coming out, and they can actually be social at a safe distance. And I think that's what people crave. I really noticed that the last few weeks that it's, like I said, it's become really, really festive.
Thank you both for talking with us this morning.
Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome.